Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
What is happening, Orange County? I don't know who's more casual today, you or me.
You talking to me?
Yes, Paul, I'm talking to you. Who else am I talking to? I've been talking to myself for 4.5 years.
But you got all these hipster photos up that you're putting up of you with your glasses flipped up and everything here.
Glasses flipped up? Okay, so hold on.
Yeah, you go.
So let's just do a throwback 80s, shall we?
Now, this is an 80s show here, right? We got Don Johnson. And
Okay, we're good. This is good. Okay, let's do this for a bit. That's fine.
The future's so bright, you got to wear shade.
$50,000 a year don't pay you buy anything anymore, right? Okay, glasses are off. But, it's you know what? The reason I'm dressed like this, because it's getting kind of hot and ugly out there. The election season coming up.
It is.
And
thank goodness there's no monkey business in San Clemente where you live. I mean, it's an open, fair, honest election. And what?
Oh, sorry. What? I'm sorry. You put me to sleep. Are we talking about the same town?
Yeah. I mean,
ba-da-ling, the alarm just went off.
Ding, ding. No. To talk about a spin zone. No, that would be the ultimate, like, incorrect spin right there, Paul. It's getting ugly out there. I mean, and I don't know if
it's sleepy San Clemente.
Yeah,
come
but you
on.
Know, but you know what? I have something to say about this. I think it is even places like San Clemente, literally the end of the 55, the last city in Orange County. If it's any indication to the what is going on in this country, that even places like San Clemente have not been spared, honestly, from this sort of ugly, entitled, no-holds-bar, mudslinging. It's not even mudslinging anymore. It's mud wrestling at this point, right. Honestly, right? And not the kind I would pay money for either, right? Yeah. But basically, oh, God, I just had visual of some people in bikinis that I don't really want. I can't get that out of my head. Okay. But no, seriously, right? It is ugly out there. It really is ugly. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news, national news, for 2 minutes, and you realize just kind of the contentiousness, the ugliness, the posturing, the pontification, that the baseless. I mean, we used to be a nation of laws. And even if you disagreed with somebody, there was a certain amount of respect in basically at least offering room for somebody to have their own opinion, you to have yours, and you may not agree on something,
but you
agreed on one thing. You agreed that whatever action, whatever position you took, had to be to the benefit of the greater good.
To debate.
Whatever that greater good definition is for you.
To debate, not to demean.
Right. Well, we no longer debate. We no longer debate. And in fact, we not only don't debate, we actually pride ourselves on demeaning.
And destroying. That's the sign of success. I destroyed, I smashed, I
right, I came,
them.
I saw, I conquered. We've become like friggin', you know, the Roman legionnaires basically, you know, invading other countries when it comes to politics. Right. And it we used to kind of half joke and half kind of, you know, chagrin when we would say, you know, it's a blood sport. Well, now literally people, and especially with the likes of social media, and we'll talk more about that a little bit here with Dee, but, you know, it's like they pride themselves on having like bloodied their opponent.
Well, it's back to the McCarthy era that I first experienced as a kid. You know, it's the rumor mill that leads to fear mongering, that leads to unbased rumors,
and that
ruin people's lives and careers before they even
and there's no consideration. Like, I don't care if I ruin your life. I don't care whatever means necessary at whatever cost it takes. To basically pass on my own agenda, my own platform, my own basically twisted thinking, whether it is to the common good or not, I don't care. Like, so I said, self-entitled fear-mongering for whatever purpose it is. With that positive introduction.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. He's like, what did I get myself into? I made a promise last month when it came to people that actually have the courage. And it is very courageous. Every day it's even more courageous, honestly, to step up and put themselves in front of the gunfire and run for office to be of public service, okay? That is a not only a thankless job anymore, it really requires friggin' like courage and Kevlar, I think, right? These days.
Courage and Kevlar.
Courage and Kevlar, so right. Yeah. And even places like San Clemente. Small, sleepy beach town, San Clemente, with 65,000 people or 68,000 people, whatever the population is now. Even those places are not spared. Okay? And so I made a promise a month ago that anybody who's running in San Clemente for the special elections, and I want to just take a moment, and again, you know, the condolences to the Swartz family for the passing away of Steve, who was a good guy, was a friend. Because of him passing away, his seat became vacant, and a special election was called.
What's the date for that?
November 5th,
and it's actually a mail-in.
It's a mail-in.
And it's not a ballot. And actually, it's the format for actually the elections going next year as well. They won't have polls anymore. You can actually go in and drop a ballot right. off, but it's strictly a mail-in ballot, and that's how they're going to all be in the future, according to the registrar.
So the thing about that, people, is you got to really be awake and aware. Because if you're still thinking that you're going to just basically on the last day walk in and basically fill out a ballot, you may be out of luck. I mean, I don't know how they're going to deal with that at least, but eventually you literally have to be engaged. And why I say you have to be aware is because that system, in my mind, is fraught with a lot of potential misuse and abuse.
Well, look what happened in North Carolina where the people were going and collecting ballots. Hey, we'll take them in for you and then throwing them
and
in the trash.
And then throwing them away, right.
Ballot harvesting.
Ballot harvesting. So be aware, voter. You know, your vote is still one of the most valuable things and most I think, privileged rights that we have in this country. So this election is November 5th. It's a special election. There's five candidates running, I think, for that seat.
However, an important part about this is that the ballots will actually probably be in most people's mailboxes in San Clemente by this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend.
If and not in the next couple of days.
And if anything is an indicator from previous mail-in ballots and the importance in election cycles is that a lot gets determined by those mail-ins.
And I have a quick question.
Like by the time November 5th comes around, we may already have cast the winning.
Oh, it'll be done by the third, fourth week of October November 5th even comes close.
So don't sit on your ballots when you get them in the mail. And if you don't get them in the mail this week, make sure you go figure out a way. How if people don't get in the ballot, how do they? Do they talk to anybody?
They could actually go online and register online. I'm not sure what the cutoff is, but there's still time to get a ballot if you're not registered. I found out before I even ran, I was registered, and I went in to sign my papers, and the gal says, you're not registered to vote. And it's like, what? Wow. And the DMV actually had, instead of San Clemente, something that went through DMV actually showed up as Santee. So I had to go back and change
You were in Santee?
Yeah, before I could even be on the ballot.
Wow. So quick question. I don't know if anybody's ever done a study on this, but what kind of effect does it have on turnout if it's all by mail? Do more people ignore it? Forget about it, set it aside, or is it easier, quicker, and more people are engaged? I could see it going either way.
Do you want to take this? I mean, I have my feelings about it, but I don't know that I have any specific record or sources that I'm quoting when I do that.
Well, this is just one small election, and a lot of people don't even have an idea that there even is an election going on. And it's not involved with a presidential or a Senate election or any special measures that are on board. So I would say that there's 40,500 ballots going out, and I think that the turnout will probably be maybe 20,000, 15,000.
But I think the thing to note is this is a special election, but we're leading into 2020, which will have a midterm, right? And if I'm hearing you correctly, future voting is going to be done by mail,
correct?
In Orange County,
right?
Right. So if you're not aware of that one fact, and you're listening to the show, at least we've gotten that across to you, is that you need to become more knowledgeable and aware of the fact that in Orange County, it's looking like we're going to be going to all-mail ballots, and you will not be going to polling places to vote. So with that being said, what I have seen, at least, like a non-expert position here, but what I have seen in previous election cycles is that the mail-in ballots actually carry a lot of weight, and they tend to be people that are already committed, very polarized in particular support one way or the other, and I'm just talking about in general any election that I've watched in the last 10 years, is that the emphasis tends to be on, well, what's the results from the mail-in ballots? You know, there's like this big pocket of voters that basically just vote by ballot because it's convenient. I don't have to basically figure out a time in my day to go to a polling place, etc. So it has become, I think mail-in ballots have become more and more important and more indicators of how an election is going.
And I'll give you one other interesting observation I've heard and seen. This last election cycle, midterms, was an example of that. Historically, I believe this is true, mail-in ballots were more conservatives. They were older people. They were engaged and paid attention and filled out their mail. Younger people set it aside, forgot about it, they're busy, they got things to do. Now, in this last cycle, it was the mail-in ballots that threw all the long-term Republican seats into Democratic hands in several elections, because as the election was counted that night from the polls, many of them held slight leads in these races, the Republicans, and it was the mail-in ballots that swung it the other way. So we've seen a difference where mail-in ballots have suddenly become not just the automatic conservative older voter.
No. And I think what's important and interesting about this, and before I go any further, I just want to make sure that everybody who's listening right now to us live also has the ability to call in if they have any questions relevant to just elections in general.
Please,
or this particular. So what's the phone number, Paul, that they can call?
949-330-7761. 949-330-7761. We always throw it out. It's hard to get people to call. I know they want to tweet, but you really get
and then what and what about the what about tweet
just at OC Talk Radio.
Okay, so hashtag OC Talk Radio. Or just OC Talk Radio.
Well, you got to put the little hashtag.
Hashtag OC Talk Radio, or you can call us on that number that Paul just gave out. I think it's an interesting and pretty important development, because if you figure that the ballots, let's use San Clemente as an example, the election is on November 5th. The ballots go out this week. You're going to start receiving them in the mail, right? We are not even the 10th of October. We are just about 3 weeks from actual election day, right? If you think about that, and you think that people have basically already polarized and know who they're going to vote for, and the minute those ballots come in, they basically fill them out over the weekend and they drop them in the mailbox, like on, let's say, Monday. Okay, now that's the 13th. 13th or 14th, right? That's still like 2 weeks to 3 weeks away from the actual election day.
Right.
And what just happened is that just changed the whole ball game as far as how you campaign, how you put the word out, how much money you spend on advertising. Because if
when you do your advertising, that's the big one.
Right. I mean, 3 weeks, usually, traditionally, it's been a big push at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody is basically voting by mail and the percentage of people voting by mail has gone up and up and up and up, then it could very easily, a case could easily be made that in the last 2 weeks prior to an election, there's no point spending money because it's already done, unless you're picking up those last stragglers of people that haven't decided. But again, if I have to have my votes in stamped by the 5th, chances are I am now voting earlier, because the minute I get it in the mail, I just want to get done with and put it out if
so
I know.
Just
it is.
As most people are starting to pay
so
attention,
the
election
whole way
could
of
be
election.
Over.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why voting for D. Coleman on this weekend will be very important for everybody.
Right. So while everybody may vote on the 5th of November, D's asking for your vote early.
Yeah, the early bird gets the worm.
Right. So with that.
Are you the worm here? Or the, well,
No, I'm the long shot here. But because nobody's been, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars haven't been pushed my way. They've been pushed to,
so
the, right, to the left.
So let's
don't live there. I just don't want you to.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Paul. We haven't even introduced who the guest is, right?
Oh, who is the guest?
So my guest on the show, again, in keeping with the promise of basically providing this platform for people who are running for office, it happens to be San Clemente now. Next year, it's still open for anybody running for any other office, because I really genuinely want to support people that have the guts to basically put themselves out there, put their families through all of this. It is an ugly situation, but if it wasn't for people like you running, we wouldn't have people serving. And those are people that basically look out for everybody's interest at the cost of their own stress, you know, lack of stress, full life, right? And so with that, I want to just introduce D. Coleman, who's running for San Clemente City Council, like I mentioned, for a special election to fill the seat vacated by the passing of Steve Schwartz.
And that's D with a D.
D-E-E.
D-double-E.
D-double-E.
Yeah. Not a woman.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I heard a rumor that, you know, there are people that are basically, you know, spreading a false rumor that maybe you're a woman or something. Did you hear this,
Well, too? You know, that's that fake news pushing it full gear.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's a, what do they call it? What's the word? The state, what is it? The hidden state, what's the word?
The deep state.
The deep state. We have a deep state in San Clemente, is that what you're telling me?
A deep state? I don't even know what a deep state is.
Oh, it's the hidden bureaucrats who are trying to influence the election. You know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a big pocket of that, yeah. I think, on the right and the left.
Yeah, there's the deep state in San Clemente, and anybody who's been paying attention knows who exactly those people are. So anyway, without naming names, you are running for city council. You have done a lot of stuff. I was looking at your bio, but what made you run for city council? Give people a little bit of background about yourself, like how long you've been in San Clemente, what have you been involved in?
Are the issues? What's the topic?
And then let's bring it back to what Paul's point is. What are the issues?
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, what are the issues? What are the issues that are what brought me in to the race? And that was the homeless issue in our city. It's not as big as it is in a lot of other cities in the country, but yep. It's an issue where I live and where other people live that's of concern to me. I came to San Clemente 6 years ago.
And it's not limited to San Clemente. It's something that all of Orange County is struggling with.
Yeah, you go to San Juan Capistrano, you see it there. You go to Mission Viejo, you see it there. Nobody's exempt from it. However, San Clemente is not as exposed to it as Seattle or Portland or Washington, D.C., for that matter. But where I've spent time and, you know, working with people and talking with people in those cities.
Santa Ana.
I mean,
Orange, yeah. I mean, would you say that we are dealing with a crisis on that particular topic because we just really have mismanaged and not handled that situation for so many years on the county level?
Yeah.
And now it's basically come down to the cities to basically be facing this.
Well, I think...
it's not a new problem.
No, state and county sources have closed down different programs and because they couldn't afford to do them. And they felt that they could actually push it off on the people. Mm-hmm. And because it was just like some of the other things where they've released the people with SB 47 and those things like that, where they've just dumped them on the people saying, yeah, let's let the public deal with this. We don't need to pay for it and put our dollars and resources on it. Let's just put it
mental
on the
health
people.
Facilities being
exactly.
closed down for years, yeah.
Right. And now the systems that were in place in the past are broken and they're outdated. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be a new reinvention of how this stuff is taking place, because the different factions of this process and what's happened are evolving and creating all these new pockets of problems for mm-hmm. for people in different cities across America.
Well, and the homeless issue is not a new issue to the United States. It's not a new issue. I mean, it's as old as time. Would you agree?
Oh.
So that's why I was asking relevant to the county, because from what I have been able to gather is that we have buried our collective heads in the sand on this issue for way too long, and it's come back to bite us in ways that impact directly communities like San Clemente. And so that lack of leadership, or maybe the avoidance of a confrontational topic for so long, is why we find ourselves in the crisis that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I need a little more clarity here. I don't live in San Clemente, but I know there have been some controversial things passed. They were going to put them in a fenced-in area, the homeless, or they were going to do something. I've heard all sorts of crazy things.
We've tried to come up with solutions because, to Dee's point, we've been left to our own devices.
How many people are we talking about? Is it a large population, a small population of people that you're trying to accommodate or find help here?
The numbers bounce around from all different angles, but I would guess, you know, you're dealing with some people maybe anywhere from 80 to maybe 150 different people that are spread throughout the city of San Clemente, in my opinion.
In any given moment.
Yeah.
The population fluctuates, obviously.
And they had the encampment on Pico where that was mm-hmm. in, and that at one point they were upwards close to 90 people in there, 80 people approximately. And they've done, I call them purges or mm-hmm. super cleans, and they've bumped them all out. And then on the most recent one, now they're just allowing only people in there that are residents, have some kind of tie, have a driver's license to San Clemente, an expired license to San Clemente, graduated from San Clemente, some type of affiliation that they can document. And those are the people that are allowed. And now that encampment that runs $25,000 a month to operate went from facilitating a large group of people to now maybe down to 25. But the people that they purged out on the last one have all filled over across the streets and around the businesses around town. And
who pays to describe the facility and who pays for it?
It's a yard.
It's a dirt yard with DG they put down, fenced, and it's been slatted so you can kind of see in there, but you can't really see. They've got a security guard. The biggest cost is the security, and by throwing it in where they did, the city didn't even do any notice to any of the surrounding businesses or homeowners that were there.
Well, that whole C Summit high-end homes that basically are new developments in San Clemente.
They
didn't notice them at all.
Yeah, million-dollar-plus homes, and now that impact has spilled over to them. Mm-hmm. They're paying $18,000 a month in security themselves. Mm-hmm. The car wash down the street was paying $3,000, $3,500 a month. I was talking to him yesterday. They had to stop it because it was so much money. So now they're at the mercy of just letting everything happen as it is. Mm-hmm. I even got invited over to a soft opening at OC Fresca. It's a new restaurant right there in North Beach. Really cute restaurant. They probably spent, a few $100,000 to fix it up. Not sure how much, but a lot. Mm-hmm. And they've been working on it for months. And when we were over there the other day, a person comes up that has been sloughing around there and actually relieved themselves right in front of the window with a couple and their kids. And I'm sitting there looking at this going, what in the world? I mean, this is not right.
So since we're on it, what do you see as actually effective, sustainable solutions that can be explored to this issue? Because there's a humanitarian factor to this as well.
Yeah, well, the big thing is that Orange County needs to get off their rear end and get things together.
You're talking about the supervisor level.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The County of Orange has hundreds of millions of dollars that they've been just sitting on, doing nothing. They're pushing it into Santa Ana. They're pushing it into the north area. They're called SPAs, SPAs. So there's three of them in Orange County. There's the North SPA, Central SPA, and South SPA. There isn't anything in the South SPA at all. And they keep trying to direct a regional facility all the way at the back end, at the very end of our street, so to speak, in San Clemente. Well, that's not going to do any good. That's going to bring people up from the north, out of Oceanside, or whatever. But the big thing that these homeless advocates are talking about is they need to have resources, and they need to be able to bring
Otherwise, you're not really doing anything other than putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, you're literally not fixing. Don't even go there, Paul.
A harsh way to describe the homeless here.
Well, no, I'm not putting it on. No, you know who's putting a lipstick on a pig? This board of supervisors and the people didn't do the job right the first time.
Right.
If anybody ever worked for a company and basically had the gall to stand up and at one point say, oh, you know what? We didn't realize we had $800 million or God knows what that unbelievably large amount was. Oh, we didn't realize we had that on the books for homeless issues.
Oh, they do, and they're –
they actually came out publicly and said, we have had it, but we didn't realize we had it. You know what happens when you have that kind of discovery and you happen to be employed? You're out on your ass, and you don't even get to basically close out your box and put all the stuff in your cubicle in a box.
And where did they get the money from?
Okay, that is the abdication of leadership that I'm talking about.
That's a benefit of working for the government, isn't it?
That's not. I honestly believe it is a decision that I see over and over in a lot of issues. It's called the lack of desire to put my political future at risk by taking on a controversial issue, which is the whole reason why I got friggin' elected, to do a job to address problems, to basically just sit there and basically ride the time out until my next election cycle. $800 million sitting in some back account that you're not aware of that is causing a problem on the riverbed in Santa Ana that you see every day you drive by there, there is an abdication of leadership.
All right, I got to stop you for 1 second because I know you've mentioned this before, and I really don't know what you're talking about. You're saying the County of Orange had 800 or hundreds of millions of dollars that they somehow lost or forgot they had?
They came out, and I can look it up and find it. They came out with a statement where it said, oh, no, we've had this money allocated. But we didn't realize. We just kind of like realized we had it.
It was off the books.
Okay, so why haven't you spent it?
They're not pushing it.
Right. It's the same reason, by the way, Dee, why we have an issue with affordable housing. Because the people that are tasked with basically providing affordable housing, the way the law is that anybody who's doing a development has to provide a certain percentage of those units or some sort of square footage allocation to affordable housing. So what they do is they're allowed to basically opt out by paying in lieu fees to the city. Now the problem is that the city has to provide that affordable housing. That means that the city has to grow a pair of you know what and stand up and tell the people in the community that don't want lower rent housing in their neighborhoods that by law they are now responsible for providing that. And so they don't. They kick the can down the road. It happens on affordable housing. It's happened on the homeless issue. The fascinating thing about the homeless issue in Orange County now is that the minute that number registered on the radar, every consultant, every lobbyist, every person who basically is now wanting a piece of that dough basically is showing up to work on the homeless problem.
Well, and the supervisors...
It's the next cash cow in Orange County.
Well, and the supervisors are focusing on just getting reelected. That's all they're worried about.
Right, so...
They're not worried about the South
Claw. It's not about solutions that are based on what is really needed to solve this and provide a sustainable solution. It's not about providing mental health resources. It's not providing, job... recruiting or job training, or some sort of, because most people that are homeless, I'm not saying everybody, because there is a percentage of the population that just by choice still wants to be that way. But there are people, there are seniors that become homeless out because of one bad medical cost. Paul, how many people are subject to that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Of a certain age
bracket,
veterans, right?
We've had
veterans.
Shows about that.
Okay. I was on a board of directors for an organization called Rebuilding Together, which is a nonprofit national organization, 200-plus affiliates in the country. And before Habitat for Humanity got into the remodel when they were just doing new construction before the market went down, Rebuilding Together was responsible for handling low-income, indigent, senior, veterans. I will tell you, we walked into trailer homes where people were basically an 80-year-old mother taking care of a invalided 58-year-old daughter that hadn't had hot water for 6 months, and we needed to scrub down their trailer, okay? Where the piece of carpet on the ramp to basically roll her daughter up was torn, and the woman basically had no upper body strength. The mother couldn't do that, okay? There are people that do not choose to be in this point in their life homeless.
And then addicts and the mentally
disabled. That is absolutely, I admit, absolutely part of the population.
But
it's not the whole population.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm the only candidate who's actually put together a written plan to address this matter, and nobody else has done it. And
so share some of that with us.
Well, I will. But the more important thing is that... you asked why I was running.
Yeah, why are you running?
And I ran. I'm not running for anybody but the people of San Clemente. I've been sitting behind, watching the process, watching the movements by the city council.
Yeah.
And they're not getting stuff done in an efficient manner. And it's showing up in all the problems that we've got with the homeless people. They're allowing them to come in and disrupt the businesses,
I just want to be clear on this. I'm going to ask you this question very directly. That same complaint from citizens I have heard over the last better part of 10 years.
Right.
Okay. So are you saying that even the current council, the people that are there now that ran actually on a similar platform to get elected, that those people themselves also are still not dealing with the problem?
They're not dealing with it effectively.
Effectively,
yeah,
okay.
Effectively, and in a manner that's shows accountability. They threw this property in over there on Pico, and it's become a disaster. The people are going across the street and disrupting the Pico Park where the kids are playing. Mm-hmm. They've set up tents there right on the street, and I don't know if it's something that's orchestrated or what for this election, but it's really kind of bizarre that they're just setting up on the streets there, I went over there this last weekend, and there are guys walking around with skateboards, and they're looking a little edgy. I, as an adult, if I were a single mom or if I were a mom on a play
Absolutely.
Date out
feel
there,
very, very threatened.
I'm afraid they might jump me, and I'm walking around there, and I right. can take care of myself.
And that's right by those trails right. that are on Marble on that coastal Marblehead development, right?
Yeah, and that's yeah. not what those parks were
which
designed
a lot of, which
for.
Which a lot of people use, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a joke. It's a complete joke.
So what's the plan?
So So let's talk about what you're proposing for that.
Okay, so my plan is a 9-point plan, and going through the plan, it starts out in identifying in any situation you have to identify the problem. Mm-hmm. So I've identified the different groups, and there's 5 different groups of people, and in doing that, you have the bedded, you have the chronic homeless, the mentally ill, the drug addicted, etc.
Okay.
Once you have those, then you have to send them to their target facilities.
Right.
And then you can't send a drug person to a mental person.
Makes sense.
There's different target facilities.
Right.
And then now you have to establish the criteria for the target facilities. This is where the property on Pico has kind of missed the mark. They're going by the seat of their pants, and they don't have a policy. They've never been involved with it. San Clemente has no business being in the homeless business, quite honestly. They don't know how to deal with it. It's all fresh, it's new, and it's evolving in front of them on a day-to-day basis. But in having those facilities, you have to have all of the different remedies to make sure that it succeeds properly,
yep.
that there's accountability,
yep.
that there's an effort for the people to go out, that there's an effort for the people to get rehabilitated, to contribute. My plan actually calls for contributions. If we're giving all this out to the people, mm-hmm. let's see some reciprocal return action.
Which, by the way, is not unusual request. I mean, a lot of towns, including like Long Beach, that basically put that into effect very, very, very efficiently, and it works. I mean, I will tell you the thing that you bring, the interesting point that I'm hearing from you is, we don't even have a system in place to perform that evaluation.
Well, and you know, the people in the city are campaigning on, oh, we need more police, we need more police. Well, the city can't even afford more police.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Did we not just add a couple of deputies at like what is it, like $2 million or something like that? And then the first thing that happened is they basically said that they cannot enforce camping laws because yeah. we don't have a shelter.
Yeah.
Like we added police.
Right.
So for all those people that have been screaming like, you know, the sky is falling and San Clemente is going to hell in a handbasket as far as a crime rate, first of all, drive a little bit further north of Mission Viejo. Maybe you'll realize what a crime rate looks like. And I'm not picking on North County either. But my point is that keep things in perspective, because the sky is falling, life is going to hell in a handbasket. You know, everybody needs to walk the streets armed in San Clemente is not reality. That is a political agenda that is being pushed by certain people, okay? But to your point, we have a problem, and we have to solve it. And being basically not strategic and smart and realistic about it. I mean, you just outlined 5 categories of people, okay? You're the first person I've ever heard, including people sitting on city council, that basically say, we're not painting everybody with the same brushstroke, that there's actually different categories, and we need to identify these people so we can help them in the best possible way.
Well, and what's funny is the city doesn't even have a plan themselves. It's like, well, you guys are on board there. What's your plan? What's your accountability?
So why don't you think they have a plan? Is it avoiding an unfavorable topic so that they basically don't lose politically in it? Why? We've had this issue for at least 2 election cycles. Why doesn't the city have a plan?
Because they don't know what they're doing. And you can't build a house without a plan. You need a plan. You got to have a foundation to work from.
But what is stopping them from developing a plan? That's my point. We've had
the accountability factor. That's what it is. It's the accountability, because if they get screwed up on it, they're going to be called on it. And that's probably the biggest fear that they have.
So what you just said, which I tend to agree with you, is that we are avoiding putting a plan together. Because if we put a plan together and it fails, then there will be a cost to that we will have to politically pay for. Well, guess what? That is what you got elected to as a position of leadership, to take on the hard challenges and put yourself not first, but the benefit of the greater good of your community first.
And that's exactly why I documented a plan and I put it out on the day before the ballot closed, so nobody else could come up and say, hey, I got a plan too. D. Coleman's plan is this or that. So they couldn't scab off of my plan and let my plan speak for what it is and put it into action.
Politicians scab off people? Yes, we are very jaded on this show, but there's reason for it. I've been around 54 years. Call it that, right? But okay, so that's a homeless issue. Now we've got other issues going on, right? So I know we don't have a lot of time, right, but yeah. I want to make sure that we handle at least a couple of them. So what's the next one in terms of priority on your list that you think we are facing?
For the city of San Clemente?
Yeah.
Well, the inefficiency in government, because if you can't handle a simple homeless problem, then the garbage seems to float to the top, they say. And
if you can't handle a problem and you avoid it by burying your head in the sand...
I think the problem is...
It's not limited to one issue.
There's very few people on our council that I think have the background, the knowledge to really run a city, to understand the contracts, to understand the dynamics of what's going on. And now, those same people that are having those miscues are backing these people that are basically just like, might as well just have a statue up there sitting next to them for who they're representing. But a big problem is at city council recently, they had a bid for the Marine Services Building for $1.5 million. Then they were trying to shove up a new RFP for $500,000 more to add to the new construction mm-hmm. of this cost, mm-hmm. bringing it up to $2 million. Well, they already had a faux pas with the swimming pool situation that jumped almost three times the amount of what it was supposed to be.
So let me share with you my thoughts on that, because I saw this even on the Vista Hermosa Park. I saw it on Courtney's Sandcastle, okay, because I was on the Beaches, Parks, and Recs Foundation, Friends of Beaches, Parks, and Recs, and basically also was involved with some things like at the Historical Society and so the swimming pool conversation. But I will tell you something that I believe happens. The city, any city, I'm not picking on San Clemente, but I'm familiar with San Clemente, they basically take forever to decide on a certain expenditure for a particular infrastructure project.
Right. It
takes forever, right? They finally budgeted. They factor it into their annual budget, whatever number of years.
Actually,
of budget.
They approve it first.
Well, okay, so they approve it. Okay,
and who knows? Maybe it could have been influenced by somebody.
But,
you never know.
But let's leave that out of it for a minute, right?
Yeah.
We have a need in the city for X, like let's call it the handicap accessible or multi-generational playground, right? Okay, great. We basically deliberate about the need for this. We all get behind the need because it's a feel-good decision. We all approve it unanimously. We all put it on our list of potential projects that we want to embrace as the city, blah, blah, blah. We do all of this stuff. We then allocate, for the purpose of budgeting, a certain amount of money that is going to be basically needed to actually execute this project. Okay? We do this, let's say, year X. So the numbers are based on year X's cost and allocations. Now we go out to bid. But before we go out to bid, we go out to consultants to basically tell us what we already know we need.
Right.
Because we want to cover our ass and not basically be responsible for making that decision without a third party that basically told us this is what we should do. So we now took that $1 million that we allocated for this park. We just spent $300,000 of the $1 million on consultancy and white papers to tell us exactly what we kind of knew with a little bit nuance of the degree of change.
Well,
that is $300,000 less than the $1 million budget. Now we are 2 years later. So now the projections and numbers are no longer accurate. So we go out for bid again to get basically additional numbers. We've just spent another $200,000 or $100,000 in the process of doing that. Now we have everything we need to pull the trigger and dig into the dirt. And we basically now are $500,000 off the $1 million that we originally estimated gone. So now, unfortunately, we can't kick off the project right now. We have to push it down for two more, you know, capital campaigns or allocated budgets or whatever, right? So this issue, pick the topic that you want. I see it repeat constantly.
Well, I'm going to just you just hit on another item that just one more other little
right.
item that the city tried to do to address this homeless issue, and the dysfunctional council that's there. You know, they're directing the city staff on what to do. City staff just says, "Hey, I'm going to just go do this on my own."
City staff works for the council.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So the city staff.
Yet they get blamed for telling the council what to do. It's not me. It's them.
Right. So they direct them to put up a homeless shelter and get a bid, and then they try to push over on the public a $20 million commitment and rent a facility, do a 10-year lease on that facility and put, you know, more money into the improvements. They can't even put people into this unit 6-7 months. I went to that council and I said, no way, do not do this. It's a choker. It's going into a recession. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And so this dysfunctional council, the one that can't agree to agree, and now are in this big, huge fight with two puppet candidates on the side for their guys are trying to shove this down the city's throat.
So when you say puppet candidates, are you thinking that there's basically an attempt underway to try to basically gain a majority on the council?
Oh, well, of course there is. Okay.
What purpose? What are they trying to do?
Well, I would assume to rubber stamp whatever they want to do.
Yeah, you're getting a final, you know, you're getting your way on your council with all your backers that are behind you. And this election, you know, if you look at the financial disclosures, you know, these guys that ran in the last election that lost to three other people and are now have a little bit of name recognition from the last one. Well, these guys, before the ink even hit the printer of who was going to be on the ballot, the two on one side of the council and the two on the other decided, hey, let's pick these two guys and we're going to shove everything we can at them and we're going to take over our council and have our way for the next 4 years.
That sounds like a very expensive campaign to run. Because they're special interests, is from what I'm hearing, right?
Oh yeah, the PACs, the firemen, they give your guy, no offense.
No, none taken.
Yeah, $5,000 to a kid that's never even been on a fire truck, probably. I'm an ex-fireman, you know, as a volunteer fireman for approximately 2 years. They never called. They never said, "Hey, can we interview you? Can you do a questionnaire?" Nothing. And so I'm not upset about it, but the other side, you know, with all of their campaign strategies using social media and getting the endorsements of all these people, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that's out there. I'm not going to go into that, but it's all over social media about him. But on the other thing, they're using that as attack modes for anybody that goes after their candidate. We're going to smear them. We're going to dump them off of our sites.
And there are certain pages. I mean, you don't have to say it, but I will say it. There are certain pages that are being used as propaganda machines. They're not really neutral platforms for community discussions. There are some pages that are basically being used for literally perpetuating a certain agenda and pushing for a certain candidate.
Oh, yeah. Not certain. It's dead on.
Yeah.
And
stop you one more time here. All right, so we had this other candidate, the young guy whose name escapes me here, Jackson, who brought in. And you're saying that the Orange County Firefighters Association supported him?
Oh, yeah, they're trying to control this whole thing. They've obviously got an agenda. If they're putting $5,000 behind a 20-year-old kid that has no experience, hasn't even stepped into college, something's kind of telling you something a little fishy.
So just to be fair on both sides, who's pushing the other candidates? Who's funding that campaign?
Well, there's you know, both sides have over $20,000 for a $400 a month job. Doesn't that seem a little odd? 20,000 and plus and growing. And so Bieber, he's a TCA ex-consultant.
So this is why I was asking you that, is like, because we do definitely have an issue of a threat of the TCA and the toll road going through San Clemente, and it's every candidate that's come out for this special election has said that they're against the TCA toll road thing, you know, extensions through San Clemente. But why I'm asking is there an attempt being done, you think, that's basically trying to get kind of load the council to make that a little bit easier?
Well, the TCA, you know, is dumping money into all kinds of sources. They gave four, and you have to understand a PAC and how they work and how the donations
work. It's not a direct.
Yeah, they'll put it in a few months ahead of in advance, like a bank account, and it's like, okay, it's time to pull that favor,
right?
Like a little mafia story, so to speak. And it's like, if you don't do it, we won't give any more money to your cause. But they gave $14,500 to the Chamber of Commerce, and we interviewed with the Chamber of Commerce, all of the candidates, and we had to do a questionnaire.
And the Chamber of Commerce has a political PAC, actually.
I'm not sure
they do.
Yeah.
They, which is separate from the actual chamber.
Well, I would assume that it's probably a GOP PAC.
Which is interesting because supposedly city councils are supposed to be nonpartisan.
Yeah, well, I've been in business in 6 years in that city, and I was surprised that I didn't, you know, I'm not a bad sport, but it would sure be interesting to really understand what happened and how they gave that nod to Gene James. And but it is what it is. I'm moving on.
So let's move off the topic of what the other candidates that are running are. But I really want to hear about your. So you've got the government, you know, running the city more efficiently, more responsibly. The way that you're seeing it, it's definitely not happening that way right now with the current council. And like, to be fair, again, it's not a new problem, but it's a problem that's still continuing. And we talked about the homeless situation, which is a big deal. I'm curious about one thing, because I've heard this from a lot of people, and I've heard it from different candidates in different election cycles, D. Here's the thing, having lived in San Clemente, since 1987, more or less, other than being away for a couple of years, here's what I see. I see a community that's built out. I see a community that is wanting to hold on to what makes it unique, not necessarily against change, but wanting to be responsible and sensitive on how we adapt to change versus be against it. Okay, but I also see a community that has basically been driven by developer money because we were basically non-built out and we could basically make money that way as an economic engine. I'm seeing a community that's basically losing a lot of its youth because of the lack of affordability, and these are future leadership in the community. Okay, to give Jackson a credit, is here's a person who's born and raised that's basically stepping up to basically run for city. We're losing these people. They're moving elsewhere, okay? The innovation that these people come, you know, I had a gentleman by name of Evan Van Auken who basically developed a scorch pen. You know, he's born and raised San Clemente, right? He's not living in San Clemente, right? What vision do we have for this community to where we basically can build a future that is supportive of innovation, entrepreneurship incubation, that basically is willing to think outside the box from economic engines that are becoming almost obsolete? Because otherwise, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to be looking at spot zoning. We're going to be looking at massive demolition and reconstruction because we're still basically building it on the economic engine. And even with that, we don't have the open space that we had before.
Right.
That whole C Summit was the largest development. You know, we're putting in a hotel at the outlets. The outlets is a big addition. But, you know, you got an aging population. Senior people that are older do not spend as much money on retail. They're not moving out of their houses, so the property taxes are not going up other than incrementally because those homes are not changing hands, right? What vision? Because I have heard from nobody, and I'm not putting you on the spot here
necessarily for an
answer, but what vision do we have that's a big picture vision, helicopter level, you know, vision for this community that is a unique community that we all love?
You know, the only way you would learn that kind of stuff on how to deal with it is if you've been involved in actual projects, you've been at different city council meetings, different cities, and you've learned that experience.
Which
and
you have.
I have. And even like in the 1994 earthquake, I was in Central California. I got in my car, and the next day after the earthquake came down, people were complete, their homes were completely destroyed.
Yeah, I remember.
And I went down there and I helped these different communities. They were manufactured home communities. I brought their homes back up. There was nobody around. I was the first guy on the scene to do it, working with National Guard, fire, rescue. I worked with Mayor Reardon at the time. And this is all before young Jackson was even born.
Yeah.
So you have to have that experience. But going to your question, like, for example, the people that are in their older homes, I was thinking of doing a program because I have a real estate background. Their Prop 13 has protected them from the increases, but that Prop 13 has also denied the city extra funds that could help them grow. So one of the things I was thinking of, well, these people are interested in selling, you know, in the near future if they're 80, 90 years old. So create an incentive program for them to want to sell now, let the home sell, and then use that incentive money to help kind of back up, bringing up the loss, so to speak. And now you get somebody that comes in, buys a new home, increases the value, the assessed value goes up, probably double of what it was before. Now you've got a new resident in town, you've got new money in town, and you've got somebody that's moving in the community.
Only depending on their age bracket, though, buddy, well, because if they're of the same age or similar, then you're going to be basically facing the same situation in the next couple of years.
No, they're not going to be the same age. They're going to be anybody that can afford that's going to be a newer, you know, higher earning person. Nobody that's in that same age bracket is going to come in and buy another house that needs rehabilitation or restoration.
So we can have a discussion about this later because because I'll tell you something. Those high earners that you're talking about, they're moving out of state. They're moving out of state because of the taxes in California. The thing about this is, and we're not going to solve it here, there is a genuine issue that is not limited to San Clemente. In fact, the gentleman who was here who basically runs AgeWell was telling me that one out of five people is going to be able to the age of 65 in Orange County by 2025. we have an economic engine that has sustained us for the better part of the last 40 years based on real estate development only. And we have been so ingrained in that that we need to stop looking at it as being the only solution. Not give it away, but we got to look at other things. We got to look at light industrial.
Right.
We got to look at incubation innovation. Long Beach is doing this right now with their job drives, right? These people that we need for these low-income jobs that are basically, you know, restaurants, service people, what have you, right, retail shops, those are people that are going to commute, what, 50 miles in order to come and work in San Clemente?
Yeah.
We have to have some solutions that make sense in a sustainable manner.
Well, it's kind of like when you're recruiting for college students, the city needs to kind of get, not kind of, needs to be involved in a recruiting effort to garner new business.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And to create tax incentives for them to come in, even though it may be an incentive coming in, hopefully the benefit on the offside will be much better. And in doing that, once people get in, it's hard for them to get out. But even still, once they get to San Clemente, they're going to want to stay in San Clemente. It's a great city,
right? Why wouldn't you? I mean, that's my whole point, is that we need to be a little bit more, not necessarily progressive, but creative. In how we basically put this appeal together, because otherwise we're constantly going to be subject to these problems that we are facing versus basically driving the future and our change. We're going to be subject to other people dictating to us.
Did the outlets help at all? Did the outlets provide more revenue to the city? I don't know what that deal was struck. Because originally those were going to be all houses. It wasn't going to be an outlet.
Well, that's kind of like the toll roads. They didn't want it, and it finally got pushed in, and it's there. And I think Steve Craig's doing a good job trying to get new businesses and create it. But it's kind of like a franchise-type operation. There are multiple operations just like those all over. But
well, timing on that particular project, timing also, because it got approved and didn't get executed for about 10 years.
Right.
The nature of commercial real estate and shopping centers changed completely dramatically. There was always supposed to be a commercial component and a residential component. It's just that the commercial component had to go in first before the residential component was built, and so that eventually drove the thing to open. But when they opened, to be fair to Steve and his team, when that opened, the nature of shopping had changed. Things like Amazon had come online.
Right.
You know, people, the way people interacted with shopping center changed. You got malls that are shutting down. So that whole business model had to evolve.
Yeah, and the outlets have.
And they're doing a good.
They're providing good revenue. However, you know, there's other people like Bill Stewart, Stewart Surfboards.
Yeah.
He's being impacted by this whole Amazon.com.
Sure.
He's a great guy. He's a visionary. He's done great things for our city, but he's being impacted by the outlets and by these other facilities. The downtown areas are, and it's all a matter of evolution and of time. Things that just happen over time.
Yeah, I talked to Bill, and actually, I think again, you know, sort of part of my effort to put the word out for people like you. You know, get this story, provide this platform, is I don't know that it would be on the Rad Life, but it might be on the Selling the Lux Life, is I plan to actually sit down with Bill and probably do a show out of his location.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a good guy.
Because these are the things that really make places like San Clemente unique. People like you, like Bill. I mean, your classic car thing is just a great thing.
Yeah.
Great addition. And these are things that really we need to be a little bit more imaginative in how we basically not only protect, but thrive them.
Yeah.
And right now, all I'm hearing, and it saddens me, but all I'm hearing is vote for me because I'm not that guy who's going to do damage. It's like it's a fear-mongering campaign. It's not make me feel good about the future. It's about how do I make sure that I barricade myself and close my doors and protect my family because, you know what, the barbarians are at the gate and they've come around the corner from the El Toro Y and they're all heading down to San Clemente. I mean,
are you talking about social media fear-mongering? Is that what you're talking
about?
Yes.
Well, guess what? It used to be, and rightfully so, people are busy. Used to be that you turned on your news channel of choice and you got about 10 minutes of news in the morning as you were trying to get the kids in the car, drop them off at school, get your coffee in your hand, and basically make sure that you responded to that email,
yeah.
Right? And that's how you got your news.
Yeah.
Now, I do that, but then I get a lot more inculcation basically being on friggin' social media, and and depending on what platform or what page I'm getting my news from, I may completely be manipulated and being fed a certain narrative of propaganda.
Well, yeah, it's almost like back in World War II, what's happening at just a different platform of doing it. And San Clemente Life and San Clemente Crime and Life are deceptive political campaigns. And I think that if you're on those sites, I think you should boycott them and stay away from them, because they are pushing their agenda over people. And I actually thought San Clemente Life and both of those were just like a public page. And boy, as soon as somebody says something the remotely negative towards Gene James or this or that, they people have been blocked. They've been their comments have been erased, and that's not a that to me is not a representation of San Clemente Life or San Clemente
Crime. That's not really pillars of democracy, where we disagree on issues but we still respect the fact that we have the right to basically voice them.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I don't know what or who is responsible, but I found it very, very amusing that yesterday, when I basically put out the postings on social media, like I do every friggin' show for whoever my guest is, saying that you're going to be on, right? And then I shared it on San Clemente pages, okay? That at some point, very quickly, I got a notification from Facebook that I violated a community guideline. Geez. Okay, all I did was
you violated the Gene James policy, I guess.
I guess
or the Gene James posse.
I guess I violated some kind of policy, because I then basically sent a response to Facebook, and I said, actually, here is all my examples for the last 4.5 years of what I have posted. You can go check them out. Here's the link to the show. Okay, there is an agenda being pushed by a certain group of people that basically have chosen to basically report this as being inappropriate. I didn't do anything inappropriate. I posted, anybody can go check it out for themselves. I didn't say, you know, everybody else sucks, but D is good.
Oh, I liked how you offered him to come onto your show and talk about tax liens and talk about indiscretions and, you know.
Anything he wants to talk about.
Maybe his old neighborhood, El Encanto. Oh, Gene, that gets his feathers ruffled there, El Encanto.
So here's the thing.
Who is Gene James? I don't even know. You're all in the know here. Who is this guy?
He's a candidate that's running. I made the offer to every single candidate that's running. I started off with Jackson. I supported Jackson in the last election cycle for city council. I don't necessarily agree with everything that Jackson says, but I like the idea of somebody who's born and raised stepping up being service. I like D2. You know, I have not filled my ballot. I don't have my ballot, right?
Well, the smart choice with smart money would be going with me. But
so we're down to the last couple of minutes. Give us your pitch. Why D?
You know, I want to really focus on, like you say, bringing new business to San Clemente. I'm a business. I want to run the city like a business. I want to attract Silicon Valley type businesses.
We didn't mention your business. What is your business?
I own Classic Auto Sales.
And give the website for both the Classic Auto Sales as well as your campaign.
Yeah, I'm on the corner at the south end of town on El Camino Real. Everybody always says, well, where are you at? Oh, you're the place by the Muni Golf Course with all the cool cars outside, and that's great. And the website for my campaign is www.theletterd, and then Coleman, Coleman, and then the number 4, sc.com, where you can see my plan, you can see my diary of everything I've done since I put myself on the ballot, and I was first on the ballot. My business is classicautosalesoc.com.
And your Facebook page is, actually speaking of social media, is D. Coleman for council, right?
Right. And you know, I can use some help out there. I can use some. I'm for the people. I'm not for one side or the other. And I've been funding a lot of this campaign on my own. I've got a couple of supporters that were basically clients that have been helping me out. But
by the way, I
need donations. I need help. I need those votes.
And people can find that information on your website? How to donate, how to help?
Yeah. Okay. You can donate on the donate tab. You know, I jumped into this race for the homeless, and I have experience in – I've got more experience combined dealing with the homeless than anybody that's on there, period. I've been involved in the city before I even got here. My kid's godfather lives there. You know, it's just like knowing Bill Stewart. I knew Bill Stewart years before I even got there. Mm-hmm. And I've got relationships with a lot of people in town. And there's a silent army of people that aren't saying anything because they just don't want to get involved with all the dirty politics and this and that.
And
they're going to be voting for me. And there's a very small group from that social media that are being directed by some unscrupulous people and doing stuff in an unethical way, in my opinion. And that's why they need to boycott San Clemente Life and boycott San Clemente Crime and Life and get rid of the characters like Tony Rubellino and Jim Bieber and Jim Habig, who are doing a disservice to our city. And I don't like that kind of stuff. And I'm just trying to do something good for the people in regards to the homeless. If you like me in another year after what I've done, hey, I'm more than happy to keep moving ahead for you guys.
Well, that's an important point you just pointed out. How long is the term left from Steve's original term?
Well, whoever
gets elected, when does that term run out?
Yeah, it'll end up in a year, and we'll be in another election cycle. And, you know, I've been forming government relationships with a lot of people already, like mm-hmm. Mayor Eric Garcetti and the mayor from Santa Ana, Miguel, who's been a mayor there for the last 25 years.
Well, we have a common friend that's very involved in South County politics, too, we know, right?
Right, yeah.
Not to mention who it is, but yeah, I know you're engaged and involved. Those are the websites, people. Now I gotta ask you something, because I was I'm patting myself on the back, being very facetious right now, but I was so generous to offer the platform for people to be on the show.
Yeah.
But I also offered that I would wear a T-shirt
for
whoever showed up, right?
Right. Whoever showed up.
So are you telling me that since you're not taking any special money from any special interest, that you couldn't bring me a T-shirt to wear today?
Yeah, I don't have any cool design shirts or anything like that.
What are we going to do? I have this promise that I have to fulfill.
I did come up with something. I've got a picture of myself, a sticker that you and Paul can put on.
And, okay, give one to Paul. I have an idea.
There's one for Paul. And then I've got my sticker here that you can put on your car, which we have some for all the people in San Clemente. Okay. And so we've got that. So this is a very organic shirt design.
Okay, help me out here.
Okay, here you go. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. But this is this may be a new thing for
Okay, I have an idea here.
Oh yeah, see? Oh, that.
There we go.
I got to get a picture of that.
Okay. So here's the thing, guys. Okay? I said I would wear anybody's T-shirt. There it is.
He just made a T-shirt.
Okay,
that actually looks really good. Right, that could be my new design.
That's the T-shirt.
And here's the
thing. What do you think, Paul?
Okay, I like it.
This is why now you know another reason why you listen to the show, because you get tidbits for other things.
You should put another one on his face, though.
So this is – here, give me this. Okay. So here's –
that one on his face.
Here's what you find out. Okay. What you find out is – why designers always wear black.
Yeah.
This is why we wear black, because we can always do something with whatever colors we're given.
And see, now I
don't feel naked. Thank you.
And I've saved money. You know, this is how I'm going to save San Clemente money by doing stuff like this. This is out of the box thinking.
I like
that. And then after you take the shirt.
He's not wasting money on T-shirts.
Well, then the bumpers.
No, it doubles up. Like when I get back to my car, I can just peel this off and stick it on the car. So, you know, it's a 2-for, right?
Or you could just lay on the street and everybody could walk over you.
Besides,
like that.
I think when you try to apply like a visual image of somebody's face on a T-shirt, the fabric just doesn't do well. So, I mean, this is actually very creative.
This is cool.
Okay.
It may not last through very many washes.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. I don't stink that early.
We only have a couple weeks to go.
But so if this is any example, there you go. The gentleman just showed you how thinking outside the box could happen, right? Thanks, D, for being here.
Yeah, Rat, hey. I appreciate you inviting me on, because it's been a great opportunity to talk to you and hopefully get the message out to the people of San Clemente. I'm here for the people of San Clemente. I'm not on one side or the other, and I'm very disappointed that the people, the council members on there, have chose people without ever even vetting them or talking to them before the ballot even came out.
Let me share something with everybody. And again, I want to be just very, very clear, okay? I don't care who you vote for. Okay.
I do.
D does, obviously. Okay, he has a vested interest in it. Okay, I'm not running for city council yet. Okay. But I'm not running for city council yet. This time around. But I will tell you this. What I do care about is that you, as a person who was not born and raised in this country, that basically didn't for the longest part of my life have the right to vote, I do care about the fact that you vote. And I care that you educate yourself as much as possible with as many points of opinion as possible at the end to make your own decisions, okay? Do not not vote ever, okay? Because there are people halfway across the planet that would die and literally have for the right to vote.
And okay? Too many people have just decided, I'm sorry to say, my son-in-law and daughter are among those, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. You're all the same. Not, they're not voting in San Clemente. They live in San Clemente. But in general, voting is a waste. We have a show host here whose name I won't disclose because I don't want to embarrass him. A smart guy, a successful guy. He has given up. Not, and it's not rad. He has given up voting. He proudly tells everybody.
No, I'm too stupid to give up.
He tells everybody, I'm not even going to waste my time thinking about it, worrying about it, all this stuff. It's the same. Whoever gets in, it's all the same. Nothing changes. Nothing.
That may be the case, but I will tell you something.
There's a lot of that
cynicism. That may be the case. That may be the case. But the minute you accept that your vote doesn't count, guess what happens? It doesn't
count, yeah.
Right. And that's why I jumped in, because I want to make my voice count, and I want the people of San Clemente's voice to be heard, and I'm going to be the eyes and ears of them to make sure that this kind of garbage doesn't continue on. It's a disservice to our city.
It is. And so two things relevant to San Clemente, and then I'll just end the show. One is, I would rather live in a community that is overly engaged than one that is not. And there's one thing about San Clemente that anybody will agree, regardless what else they disagree on, is that we are a very engaged and involved community. And that is something I feel very blessed to be part of in whatever shape or form. Two is, for everybody who is running for office, while you and your surrogates and your subordinates and your campaign managers and all this stuff are all so geared toward the winning and that day of the election, always remember that there's a day after that.
Exactly.
What are you going to do the day after you get in there, other than sit and wait so that you can secure the seat for the next election?
Because I'm going to hit the ground running with my plan is what I'm going to do.
Because I'll tell you something. If you're just going to take up space in that seat, and all you're going to do from day one when you get in it is figure out how you're going to get reelected.
Yeah, forget that.
Trust me, for me, I'll speak for myself. You ain't getting my vote the next time around.
And can I just add one last thing, if you don't mind?
Sure.
When I met Eric Garcetti and I'm shaking his hand, we're talking, he's going, you know, I love San Clemente. You know, it's such a great place. And Judge Carter, a lot of people don't like Judge Carter. I got to actually meet him. That guy's a stand-up guy. He is a good guy.
He moved the homeless situation out of neutral.
But, you know, and shaking his hand, he's going.
I'd love to have him on the show.
Oh, he'd be a good guy. He's a super guy. But shaking his hand, you know, and he said, you know, when I was in the military, I was in San Clemente, and I got myself in a little bit of a rouse over there, but I love San Clemente. I know the people don't like me very well down there, but you know, everybody loves San Clemente, and even I never imagined that I'd be running for city council in there, and I'm just proud that I have the opportunity to be
elected,
doing that.
Elected office isn't about popularity, people, even though we've become a cult of personalities when it comes to politics in this country. Elected office is about being of service. Elected office of actually doing the job. Being in a position of leadership doesn't mean that 90%, 100% of the time, it's more important to be liked. You're there to do a job. So guess what? If we elect you to it, do the job.
Yeah.
And with that, I will say, till next week.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.